Tina, what do you know about gentle parenting?
What do I know about it?
Yeah, like this seems to be...
I know it gets me in trouble anytime I talk about it. Oh my God.
This seems to be... Like, I just love to start the podcast with a surprise, as Tina knows,
because yeah, she bloody hates it. Fell out of me there. I was like, oh, not the gentle parenting.
Yeah, I did ask that question like a police inspector going, where were you on the night of November 6th? I don't know. I sure I have an alibi. But gentle parenting is probably the most debated, maligned, discussed topic when it comes to parenting online right now.
Yeah, but like, I just think like with everything, it's some people just aren't understanding what they mean by gentle parenting.
Well, here's where it gets weird, right?
Yeah.
Is that people go, it's... The choice is either punishment for your kid if they do something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Or gentle parenting is going, honey, were you feeling upset when you did that?
Yeah.
Why don't we go here and get some crayons and discuss our feelings? Rather than going, you can't smash those things.
Yeah, but
Now go to your room.
I actually really like, though, the first bit. I think there's a, you know, you're saying that jokingly, but there is nothing wrong with that approach.
Yeah.
You know, like... That's like distraction and avoiding. You know, you don't want to get into the mad row. I think sometimes people mix up. Gentle parenting does not mean no boundaries or no rules. In fact, gentle parenting works best when the kid knows where they stand.
Yeah.
Now, I'm all about positive reinforcement. I think if you can avoid any negativity with your kid, perfecto. But if you get gentle parenting wrong... You're going to create a monster.
Yeah. Lord.
Yeah.
We know that.
And I
right?
feel really tough, bad for those mothers because, my goodness, they are trying,
they're trying their best. They're trying their best.
They have actually found a way to be gentle with their kids all the time. And it's not getting them what it should be because there's no boundaries. There has to be boundaries.
Do you know what gentle parenting used to look like in the 80s? Hard parenting was... Get out of the field. You're not meant to be in there. Gentle parenting was, if you don't get out of that field, you are in so much trouble. It was literally the difference between opening your mouth and speaking through gritted teeth.
The gritted
teeth was very gentle parenting.
Kate Middleton does that.
She's wonderful. That mother never raises her voice. I don't know how you do it. It's because I am a ventriloquist.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kate Middleton definitely. We've seen her do that with Louis a couple of times. Yeah. Like, if you don't stop listening, I swear there will be no screen time later on. Yeah. You nearly have to smile while you're doing it. But like gentle parenting is kind of a catch-all term that is being used to criticize anyone that is trying to take an alternative route of shouting at their kids, if you ask
me. I didn't know where you were going with that sentence, but yeah, I think gentle parenting is fab. I think that the problem with all of these
catch-all terms
of parenting is you got to find what works for you.
Yeah.
You got to read into your approach, you know, take on board different things and then find what works for you and your family because every child is so different. Some kids will react really well to that approach and some kids won't.
Well, this is the thing. You say some kids will, some kids won't. Mm. Some go. the main source of friction, I believe, in families is the differing treatment of different kids.
Yeah.
Because you're correct.
Mm.
You can't have the same approach with multiple kids.
No.
Yet equality is what the siblings are going to want.
Yeah, well, I think as long as you're fair, but sometimes, look, I know it must be really hard to parent more than one child. And especially if they're very close in age, the fairness is off the Richter scale there. Kids are looking for fairness all the time. But those kids are individuals, whether they're siblings or not. And you have to take the time to observe the character of your child and figure out what kind of parenting suits your kid. Because trying to parent four kids the same way is not going to work out. Because those are four tiny little different people.
Yeah, and yet you need a uniform rule for the house on things.
Oh, yeah, you need
rules. But I guess
rules.
It's the enforcement.
Yeah, and the way you react. And
yeah. Look, some kids are more sensitive than others.
You need boundaries. You just need them to know where they stand. And you also need to be on the same page as whoever you're parenting with.
Mm.
You know? It's really tough.
Full disclosure, cards on the table.
Okay.
Tina has 20 years of experience in severe child behavior, working mm-hmm. in early learning, all types of education. That's why you guys can email in and she's seen it all and she'll have a strategy to help you cope. honeyyou'reruiningourkid@gmail.com is the place to email. Bang them in and Tina will help. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, that's not true.
It is 100% true. I do not know. You have helped me immensely, but I know that you're watching me a lot of the time with our son going, that's we're not a united front.
Sometimes, but only on the fun stuff, I think. Like, we will have agreed we're not getting that. He's not able to do that. And then you get caught up in the moment of him being so happy. And then you both come to me, like, really excited. And I'm like, we already said we weren't doing that, Charlotte. Don't you remember?
And then it is like having an extra child.
But I remember when we didn't have a kid and we just used to hang around my niece and nephew a lot. And I had never seen someone not know how to interact with kids
before. Oh, my God. Like, I would say to them, so how was your week? They were 5 and 7.
Younger. And, I mean, I was like, have you just never been around children before?
No.
Like,
no.
Ever?
I made a point of avoiding them.
Like, I've been obsessed with children my whole life.
Yeah. Like, you hunted out kids in bars.
Yeah, if there's a kid in the bar, I'm minding that kid for the day.
Would you like me to take care of your child?
Yeah.
And people would go, absolutely, free checker.
I told you before, I used to call to people's houses and take their babies out for walks.
I believe you have a baby.
Yeah.
May I walk it?
And they would let me off. They didn't even know who I was. You're like, okay, Grant, take my baby out for a walk.
Little did they know that some years later you would have the number one parenting podcast in the country. Thank you all for rating, commenting and subscribing on your
platforms. And telling people. I mean, it's really exciting at the
moment.
It's
very exciting.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you spreading the word
because
we do not have a marketing budget.
And
we need you to tell people about the podcast.
Yeah, we know people are really listening because... sounding like an idiot. People come up and
people
they're like, I love your podcast. And I'm like, oh my God, that's
so
cool.
That's a good moment.
Yeah.
What are we talking about this week, Tina? What are the three questions that are coming up?
What are the three questions that are coming up? We are talking about, there's a mom who's gotten in touch a few times. Can you believe this? I don't know where her emails are going, but they never turn up. So it's a massive email from this mom with loads of updates about the original emails. No one else has gone through the sieve like this, but this woman has. Is that the right saying?
Yeah, slip through the cracks, gone through the sieve.
I think you're supposed to go through the sieve.
Well, she is in touch when she's having trouble with toileting.
Yeah, with her quite older child. Yeah, and I have missed it and I felt terrible. So I thought it might be nice if we give her a lot of time on the pod today. And then, sorry, my breathing is so bad. I have a little bit of a sniffle.
The second one that I think people are really unusual question is around concern for your kids' eating habits and what it's going to produce in the future. And the final one
is a bedtime.
Bedtime timing. I mean, we basically need a spin-off podcast around sleep because it's so important for your kid. And let's be clear. It's so important for you.
And it's ever changing, like all the time. You never can just go, and now I have my sleep back.
And now it's done. Yeah, I think Tina can't nap. It makes her ferocious.
Hey,
if you wanted Tina to be in the UFC, all you'd need to do is just get her to have a nap before the fight.
I wish it wasn't that way because honestly, I go for the sleep. I think, you know what? I can't keep going. I got to have a nap. Maybe this is the day I won't wake up furious. I wake up
a different person.
I'm so angry.
It's like the Hulk.
You said it's a condition. Were you just being nice to me? Because I am fucking furious when I wake up.
Absolutely. Like, lads, I wake up revived and refreshed, like the day has begun again. Tina wakes up like, why did I sleep?
Yeah.
It is
No,
demonic.
That's not the feeling. The feeling is, why can't I stay sleeping?
Why did you wake me up?
Why? I need to sleep Lord. More.
Oh, look.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is it.
Sleep.
It's a big problem. But we're here to help.
Yes.
It's Honey, You're Ruining Your Kid, the parenting podcast from the Irishman Abroad Podcast Network. Let's get to it. This is from the Washington Post.
What? Oh, no. Another surprise.
The short answer. The short answer is that some adults are genetically predisposed to need more hours of continuous sleep than others. According to a study by the National Heart and Lung Institute, didn't know that place existed, at least 80 genes appear to be involved in sleep regulation, which suggests that sleep duration can be influenced by a wide variety of biological factors. This thing goes on to say that you're right, that some people can't have that interrupted, that they need it in one spot, and if they mess with that, it can mess with their mood.
So I'm not just a cranky bitch. But you know,
I didn't say that.
You know, I had my sleep pattern done before when I was in hospital.
Really?
And they did that thing where they put it on me and they track my sleep, and it turns out I never sleep. Not even when I'm sleeping.
Right, that would explain a lot. They say here people who average 6 hours of sleep or less, for example, tend to be habitual nappers.
What? But I'm not.
You're neither.
No, I don't sleep at all. I just look really old.
Non-habitual nappers can fall asleep and stay asleep well enough, but have shown noticeably slower motor functionality upon waking up from a nap. That's true. You are not yourself for the rest of the day. Question number one. Hey, I'm just catching up on the podcast after seeing Jarlathon Ask Me Anything with Angela Scanlon. Here listening to episode 2 for the second time. Toilet training. I have 4 kids. 3 brilliant. Last angel is 5 this June. Great for weeing into the toilet. Never wets. Now, as for number 2, the poor guy's bum is ruined.
Oh,
so we'll do the wee. Not a bother.
Yeah, but this
You've seen this.
It's very common, especially with boys.
He can't do it in the toilet. He's out of nappies, and I'm actually going to have to buy an underwear company soon. What the amount that I go through. This is very tough.
Mm.
Have tried Movicol.
Yeah, so that is, you know, helping him go. So he's obviously holding it.
Okay. Rewards. Threats, which was what we were talking about in the first part of the show.
Yeah.
Everything. His brother has ASD, and we are heading a similar way for him, I think. What's ASD?
Autistic Syndrome Disorder.
Any help, advice, words, or wisdom would be amazing. I meant to say, if another person tells me he's had an accident, I may scream. It's not an accident. He meant to do that.
This poor mommy. But if she thinks that that's true, I trust her.
Mm.
So that's very frustrating, because she knows he knows what to do. But the issue there, and we see it over and over and over again, is actually the letting go of the poo. The feeling, the idea.
Yeah, the exit is the trouble.
Yes, and that is very common. There is a follow-up to that, because this lady...
It is a weird feeling. Like you got to kind of empathize in some ways. We never even consciously think about it.
Mm.
But the idea of something exiting your body,
mm-hmm.
for if you had never experienced that before, would be weird.
Yeah, well, he is 6, so he's experienced it a lot. I mean, it's unconscious when they're babies, and it's the odd time. But, like, I mean, she's worried for him. You would be worried, because, first of all, he's peeing in his pants. That's never good, right? He's old enough now to be embarrassed by that. But he can't help it. He can't. And she knows that. And it's very tricky, because she's tried everything. Also, think about the concentration it takes to hold in that poo.
Mm.
The focus.
He's in pain.
Yeah. And what I've observed with children who are doing this, and you see it a lot. I need to tell this mom, you are not on your own here. This is so common. Those kids are not having as much fun at school, and they're not learning as well as the other kids, because they are
focused on something else.
It is taking all of their attention.
Jesus Christ, this is rough. So she has an update here.
Yeah, because somehow I missed her email.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. I mean, Tina literally gets back to everybody.
I don't know how I missed her.
Would have loved to have asked your help with my son. I wrote a message above quite a while ago, and I've tried everything. Got Everyone Poos, the book.
Mm. He's love that book.
Nearly six now. Has the ASD diagnosis.
Oh, okay. So now he has. So he's on. He has.
Yeah,
autism.
So she thinks it might just be a case of him getting it in his own time.
Well, look.
I'll finish off here. Have tried everything anyone has suggested. Lactulose.
That's just another.
Pill. Trips to the loo, reward charts. He might just be a stubborn mule, she says. But wow, it's getting really hard. My nine-year-old daughter changes him now. And if we are out and there's a sitter, and she's so good. But this is...
What a dose of a daughter. Yeah. Because she's empathizing with her brother, really. She's thinking, oh God, imagine that was me. Look, if he has actually got... autism, that makes it extra tricky because he's established this now. So you're going to have to break this kind of pattern he's in, like his rules for how he poos. And
how do you do that?
Well, I mean, first you got to, I always think the best way to help children through these things is to educate. So get him involved in watching Kurzgesagt and body books about the digestive system.
Right. So educate him on food. Everybody Poos.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes Everybody Poos isn't going to work.
Everybody Poos is a really cute book, but it is a picture book
with a picture of a
panda saying,
yeah,
panda poos, you know.
So yeah, she might need something like, explain, like you said, Kurzgesagt there, which is something you find on YouTube. They have their own books.
They're incredible videos.
But they really are scientific and are incredible at explaining the most complex things.
Yes, for children.
And maybe he would need the more technical explanation of the pipes. And
well, we tend to presume that kids don't want to know that. But sometimes they really do want to know exactly what's happening in their body and why this waste needs to come out. Like, you can have a lot of fun exploring the digestive system with your son.
And the digestive system of other animals.
Yeah, and explaining to him that, you know, your body will take nutrients, but needs to get rid of the stuff it doesn't need. And then it moves through your intestines and comes out and it needs to go in the toilet. Then proceed to the toilet. The functionality of toilets, where the poo goes then.
But Tina, just to pause you there, that bit for lads, I think, is one that I've seen work on the podcast before.
I've seen that work in real time, in real life.
So where they're, okay, maybe they're not that interested in the functionality of their body, but they love the idea of the water and the pipes and where it goes after it goes down the pipe. You take them to a sewage plant and let them see it's going to go.
Live in a day where any video you want to find on YouTube is there, and you can show them.
You don't actually have to visit a sewage plant. That's what Tina's like.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm okay for that. Thanks.
That's like when we brought our child to the
an abattoir.
Yeah, that
not
was horrific.
The best
that
move
was terrible.
Of our parenting life. Someone offered us a tour.
Yeah, and we were on the tour when they gave us the outfits.
You'll have to come and see.
I was
the
like,
butchers.
Why are we getting into outfits?
But I thought it was going to be just, and here's how we make the burgers. And then we were seeing animals hanging upside down.
It was terrible. We're still not vegetarians, though.
Mikey said to me at one point during the tour, because we had him convinced that animals that we served on our dinner table all died of natural causes. He turned to us during that tour and said, "That's definitely not natural causes."
He was five.
but like, you know what? It did... like any visit like that stays, it imprints.
Yeah, and I think he could have done it. We all could have done without that tour.
Sure, but I'm saying for this kid.
Yeah, oh yeah, no. Look, I have toilet trained children with severe behaviours and with autism diagnosis. And this really helps. Information helps. They just want to know everything. Also, I have toilet trained children who are severe and profound. And these are kids who people will never think can be toilet trained. But you have to write out a plan of action that you're going to do and stick to. And the repetition of that pattern of your plan will help the child realize this is what's expected of me. Mm. The associating with the toilet, that's where the poo goes. Now, I don't think this guy sounds like he can't comprehend what the toilet is for. But I'm even saying there is always hope. Even the child who you think, sure, they'll never know how to go to the toilet. There's always hope. If you have a plan and you are willing to repeat, that child will get it ish and they will understand this is what's expected of me. Now, this poor mom, it's so tough, but she does need to start thinking, okay, he's six, he can understand. I need to talk to him about this. I need to say to him, sweetheart, you can't keep pooing in your pants. Mm-hmm. That's not where the poo goes. The poo needs to go in the toilet. Do you know when you put your poo in the toilet, what happens when you flush? Let's find out where your poo goes. Let's have a look. You have to be careful, though, as well, because you don't want them worrying about water they drink and stuff like that, you know. Mm. You have to be super careful.
Yeah, well, there's probably a book available on that, too. Mm. And I feel like two things stood out to me in the emails that she sent.
Yeah.
One, when somebody's saying, I've tried everything, you're saying, well, you need to stick to the most basic of repetition.
Choose your route.
And stick
and
with it.
And don't give up on it too fast.
Yeah. The other one was, maybe he's a stubborn mule. Now, I think that's the part of this email that will resonate with everybody. Mm. Because a willful child, I don't see as that bad of a thing sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I say that a marathon is just a collection of stubborn feckers. And, you know, being able to stick to your guns is a really important thing in life. So, you know, while you're like getting down on your kid being, Jesus, will you just do it? They're widening the lens a tiny bit can make you feel a little bit better. Mm. That like they're going to need that level of conviction. It doesn't help when you're trying to stop from shitting in his pants.
No, but also I think it is worth saying here, this mom has a lot of kids and two of them have autism. I think she needs to be a little bit easier on herself. Mm. You're coping with way more than most parents will ever cope with.
Yeah.
If your child is six and they have this thing that they can't quite do just yet, you know, as long as you're trying, you know.
It will eventually.
He will hopefully get there.
Yeah.
And you can take a plan and you can get it done really fast, but maybe you don't have the time. And I'm not going to judge you for that. And you shouldn't give yourself a tough time for that either, because you are coping with more than most. And also, get your school involved. Those teachers know how to do this stuff. Go to your Senko, go to your, you know, the teacher that's supposed to liaise with you about these social things. Go to the health nurse. Mm. Get someone else's help with this. You know, there should be help for you.
Yeah. Well, great stuff, Tina, and really, please do get in touch with another update, because...
Absolutely, and I wish I could go around and just help moms like this, because this is something I know how to do, okay?
Yeah.
But
it's you would really need to see the child.
Get to know the child, you know?
Yeah, because what I always remember with you when you were actually visiting homes to do this, that there was usually a aha moment.
Oh yeah. You watch the child. You say, and that's something moms can do. It doesn't. You don't have to be like an educator to do that. Sometimes, as a Montessori trained teacher, primarily, Montessori's greatest gift to teachers was take 2 hours out of a week and watch your class. Take an hour in your day and just watch your children.
Yeah, we never do.
Just observe them. You will learn so much just from watching how they interact, how they move, how they look at things. And you'll know, you'll understand them more.
Remember when we started this series, we used to do a kind of a news round of parenting stuff that's going around. Well, definitely what would have been in that section, if it was still going, it was this David Coleman article around kids standing
God.
Up for themselves.
Yeah.
And basically...
The place is a buzz about
this. Yeah, a lot of people talking about this. Now, I haven't read it. You have.
Well, I haven't read it. I've read a tiny bit of it and I've heard him discussing it.
Okay.
And I've heard it being discussed. But basically what the headline is, you know, if your child is getting pushed around at school, that they should be allowed to defend themselves. And it's okay to tell your child to defend themselves. Now, I completely agree with that statement. I think it's just a very hard one to enact, because when you give your child permission to do something,
yes,
as a parent, like, you are their absolute guiding light. So you have to be very careful how you give that permission.
Yeah.
Because you could be sending a kid into school who's like, yeah, if anyone messes with me, I'm going to stand my ground. Or you could be sending a kid into school going, wait till I get in there, that guy is dead. It's really...
Now, were you? Which were you? Because I have so many stories of Tina going, I know kung fu. Mess with me, you die.
I was not afraid to stand up for myself at all as a little girl. But I will never forget, you know, seeing Mikey be pushed over in the playground. I used to playground duty. Oh my God. And all I said to him was, you know, when someone pushes you, you don't have to fall down. And that's all it took. Every other time I saw someone try and do it, because it was a game they were playing, it was a weird game. And I was like, I don't like this game. It's horrible. I was like, just because someone pushes you doesn't mean you have to fall down. I was like, you hold your stance. You stay strong.
Yeah, widen your base.
Yeah, and he didn't even know that. He didn't know to do that.
And here is where I feel like I failed him. Horseplay with your parents, father or mother, it's not a bad thing. And in fact, it's a thing that's probably getting forgotten a little bit.
Yeah.
But I know that it is essential. There's a point to it.
Yeah.
That it, obviously not grabbing him in a headlock, giving him a wedgie.
Yeah, but I don't nuggies. Think you, I don't need to feel too bad, because kids do it anyway. Kids play like that.
Horseplay with your dad.
You think so?
Or an older person. Yeah. I've read a bunch of articles on the importance of this, because it does teach a certain amount of physical defense.
Yes. It's true.
You know, David Coleman, we must get him on someday.
He's incredible.
Really great.
He needs, like, this advice, though. I mean, I feel bad that we haven't read the full article that he wrote. But it you know, the way they lead with these headlines is dangerous.
Clickbait. Yeah.
Because, like, you have to be so careful. All I'm saying is you've got to be so careful about how you say that to your kid, how you model that. Because I absolutely think every child should be standing up for themselves. And I mean, they are doing that in school. They are teaching children to say, no, I do not like that.
Okay? Yeah.
But encouraging kids to be physical with each other, which I don't think he means, is different. And you got to be so, like, it's not okay to hurt your friends. But it is okay to stand up for yourself. And I feel like some of us are only learning how to do that as grown-ups.
Yeah.
So we definitely need to be teaching it to our kids. That is a life skill we need to teach our kids.
Well, like, the headline on the article is, if your child is being bullied physically, they should defend themselves. Now, let me explain why. It's a great headline because it does draw you in, right?
It draws you in, but there's so many people who
David Coleman didn't write that headline.
No.
But bullying is a thing that we get on the show a lot. Mm. And, you know, last week we had somebody who's like, I feel like the kids are toxic and that I need to get them away from these friends. And, you know, you can go back and listen to that episode. But in terms of the actual, he's punching me.
Mm-hmm.
I think your kid needs to be equipped. I agree with David in that. I think you need to equip your kid just as your kid should be aware of when a tricky stranger is asking them a question that crosses a line. They need to be aware that when somebody physically confronts them, that you can physically confront them back.
Yeah, or tell them to stop.
Yeah.
You know.
But defending yourself.
Defending yourself, or moving. Some kids don't even know to move out of that situation.
Yeah, I remember asking Sonia O'Sullivan about this, that thing of, you know, women being under attack as runners, and her saying, well, I never really felt that because I could outrun anybody.
Yeah, and that. See, this is what I mean about next. She felt a quiet confidence in herself.
Mm.
And your child, that's important.
That. Yeah.
They need to feel like, if someone messes with me, I'm not afraid. And that's why I think, you know, just as you would tell your kid, you're right, not to accept candy off strangers and things like that, you also must tell your children, I lost my words there, that, like, if someone pushes you, you don't have to fall over. If someone hurts you, you can tell them to stop. And if your friend is being unkind to you, tell them you don't like that.
Well, the main place, though, Tina, that the bullying is taking place now is online.
Yes.
And that is a tough one, because how do you defend yourself there without being accused of engaging in it yourself?
Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, that terrifies me.
Yeah.
I don't know how these kids are coping at all.
Why don't we get somebody on to talk about that?
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, that is just something that keeps me awake at night, because we're lucky we don't have it in our life yet, but it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and how do you protect your child? Because somebody is going to say something horrible.
Yeah. And also, like, you're going to get horrible messages as a grown up.
Yeah.
I don't get
many. Wait, don't say it.
Maybe it's just because after years in comedy clubs, I don't hear any of them anymore. And I also just delete anything that I don't like off comments underneath things. But we have to get to our second question. A second question or a third
second,
question?
Second, yeah.
Right. Second question of today is a very interesting one. Hey, Tina and Jar, I am looking for advice on how to caution my 8-year-old daughter from eating too much. She's not overweight at the moment, but she loves to snack and eat so much that I'm afraid she's going to eventually set herself up for obesity. I want to be very careful how I talk to her about this, but I also want to protect her health. How would you recommend communicating with an 8-year-old girl on this subject? We've mentioned the potential for diabetes as well as obesity. She seems to understand, but it hasn't changed her desire to eat. Overall, she's a very happy and well-adjusted child, and she gets sufficient exercise. I think she just likes the taste of food. I can relate. What do you make of this email?
Well, I think it's really important to really quickly get in there and say, stop. Stop doing what you're doing.
What do you mean?
Stop putting this idea into your daughter's head that she's overeating. Stop it right now. She hasn't got a weight issue. She will. She's going to have one if you don't stop. Like, I mean, this is dangerous. What he's doing is wrong. It's old school and it's his own hang-ups. Don't put your hang-ups on your daughter. She doesn't have a weight issue. Why are you even trying to restrict her food? I mean, you have the luxury of a kid who actually wants to eat.
So many people don't have that.
Most parents are really struggling to get kids to eat food. Please stop what you're doing. Please.
My first thought was, right, if you've an issue with what your child is eating.
Yeah.
Stop putting that stuff in the house.
Exactly. There are other ways. If you need to be in control, which it sounds like you have your own food issue there. I don't know if he's realized that yet. And he needs to be in control. You have an opportunity to be in control. You are providing the food in that house. But please, please don't bring this into your daughter's life. It's already so hard for girls and boys, of course. But like, that 8-year-old girl does not need to think. That she is not perfect. She's hungry. She's eating. That is a luxury she should be allowed to enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, I always think you're the one that explained to me. This is totally going back to the days when Tina would go off and do a thing and I would for once be left with our son. And she would be texting me going, have you fed him? I'm like, yeah, I fed him at 9 o'clock in the morning. What's wrong with you? Jar, it's 2.
Yeah, and I'd be freaking out. I'd be like, oh my God, the child must be so cranky. You'd be so starving.
I think in defense of this dad, and I totally agree with what you're saying, because the dialogue around food in my house as a kid wasn't healthy. And it had lasting impacts.
Yeah.
In defense of the dad, it sometimes is shocking how much a kid needs to eat. I know people who haven't quite grasped this yet, who have multiple kids and they're still going, seems to still be hungry.
I believe it's every 2 hours.
That's what you told me.
I really think that.
And you know what? If your kid is being cranky, more often than not,
they're hungry.
They're hungry.
Big time. Yeah.
Right?
If you think, oh my God, they're so irrational today, they're whiny, they're hungry.
Yeah.
please give them something to eat.
They are burning. And I'm not they are a furnace.
I'm not saying lunches every 2 hours. I'm saying, you know,
rice cake,
box of raisins, chocolate
rice cake cures so many problems.
You know what the most beautiful thing about a Montessori classroom is? And a Montessori, as you know, goes from the ages of 0 all the way up to 18 years of age.
Yeah.
There is always
a snack table
available to the child whenever they want. They go and prepare their own fruit. They sit down. They have a little chat.
It's the cutest thing.
It's the cutest thing. And any classroom I've ever worked in, whether the school adheres to that or not, I have brought in a snack table.
Amazing.
Because why would you ever want kids to feel hungry? Ever? Like, I mean...
Well, what it can do when they do feel hungry is it can make... It can actually kind of fetishize food.
Yeah, well, I just think you have to be so careful.
They then gorge in the moment when they're like, there's finally food. And instead, you want them grazing.
None of us are getting it right. And I'm not saying I'm getting it right.
No, but that's the basis of the podcast.
But I'm just saying, please stop. Do not do this to your 8-year-old
daughter. Do not introduce that dialogue.
If she doesn't have a weight issue, why would you...
If she's exercising.
She's doing exercise. She's eating, but she's burning it. You know, she's obviously burning it fast. She needs more food. I mean...
It's a tough one to read.
It's and a tough
like,
one.
And
it's
you've
a
been
tough
very
one to
strong
answer
on this.
Because and I like feel bad. I don't want to make that dad
but
feel
Dina's,
bad.
We're going to occasionally get an email where somebody says, I'm doing a thing. And you definitely have to be able to say, stop it.
I think stop that. Absolutely. And maybe go a bit easier on yourself too, because, you know.
Or have a look at your own views on food. And where is a fear that my daughter could be fat come from?
I don't know.
Like.
I don't know. Like maybe he's just super, super healthy. And maybe she's not eating super healthy snacks when she's snacking, but just stop buying them.
Yeah. This is it. It's like Gina's saying, Mikey's clothes are so expensive. You're the one buying them.
I know. Why does he always...
putting them in a trilby. In a pocket square.
You bought him a cane.
I did buy him a cane and a pillbox hat.
And
like,
Brandon bought him a pocket watch. Oh my God. And I was always like, why? How has he got so many suits?
He's dressing like a gent. Where would he get that idea?
He doesn't
go to the shop.
It was the cutest face
It was hilarious because he didn't want a birthday party. He wanted a gentleman's get together. But when you're raising your kid in England, it does sound like, what have you done? Went back to the old town last week.
We did.
Newbridge. Newbridge or nowhere is their slogan, which I'm not sure what that means. Newbridge or nowhere, what? I think it's a reference to we'll only play matches in Newbridge. What? I think it was a GAA thing. I think there was a mural of Paul Mescal waving a flag. It was very confusing.
It was very confusing.
It was also very confusing going back to my old school. Wasn't invited, by the way.
Yeah. No, we totally trespassed.
Literally just trespassing the shit out of it. Walking up the driveway to the old school, hand in hand with my beautiful wife, getting the shift in front of the wall where I never shifted girls.
Oh, you shifted.
Other lads
right.
were shifting girls. I was not a Mr. Shifty Shift back in those days. But it was a mystery as to how that many kids fitted into that school, because you're going, this, like, it's expanded so much.
But it's still a tiny school.
There was 1,000 kids in the place.
1,000 boys. Oh my God, 1,000 boys.
Gross teenage boys.
I mean, we walked.
And one shining diamond, me. Tina, there isn't a rat in the office. She is the first. You guys have no idea how many times she spins around in her chair. Like, what the hell was
what
that?
Did you
like
hear
Vern
that? That was
in. It was my foot against the chair.
Oh, was it? Sorry.
You're like Verno in Stand By Me, on guard with the gun. What was it?
I totally understood why you've such a growl for your secondary school, though, because they love all their students. I've never been in a secondary school where. Literally, the whole school
I
is documented.
I didn't have like a BlackRock grow for the old school.
Yeah, but you liked going.
I loved my time there, and I definitely enjoyed everything that happened.
But we bumped into the caretaker, and he knew who you were. He remembered you from being in school, and I was like, if I went into my...
That guy, George, shout out to George, caretaker at the Patrician Secondary School in Newbridge. The nicest
man. He was so lovely.
Man. He used to let us all into the gym to play basketball when we definitely didn't have permission. And he's the reason why a lot of us were good at that sport. Because wow. if we didn't have access to that gym, how would we play?
But I loved my old school. And I was like, if I went into my old school, nobody would know I even went there.
Guys, another day we'll talk about exactly how decadent Tina's school was.
By the way,
but ours
nobody
was like prefabs.
Like, honestly, Dara, I was a bit like...
And Tina was like, oh, where's your library? There isn't one.
I only found...
Where's your running track? There isn't one. Is this the sick bay? The what?
I only found out the other day that my old school used to be a boarding school. Then it all made more sense. Nobody who went to Mercy and Navan thought they were in a fancy school. Obviously, our school was very nice. I mean, we had a library, we had a canteen, we had lots of different buildings.
We had a
buildings. Hawkery. We did not, shut up. As in we were hawking at the other boys.
Listen, it was pretty special to go back. But it does kind of bring you back to all of the confusion of the teenage stuff. We're going to talk more about teenagers in coming episodes. I am busy reading as many books as I can, including some shite ones. Like, let's be honest, you recommend books. If you have book recommendations, bing them through, because there's so many bad
I actually
books.
Do have a book recommendation. This incredible...
Save it for Patreon.
Okay.
Come on over to patreon.com/Irishmen Abroad and get the extended cut of our episode each week, where you'll get book recommendations, deep dives into the questions, return questions, which means you'll find out what happened after they applied the advice. Now, on to question number three, and this is a doozy. Hi, Tina. I had emailed you last year about my son who wouldn't study.
Gerald, that is for Patreon.
I'm terrible at my job. Okay, here we go. Question number three. Quick question for you guys.
You literally
love
just have to
the
read
show. It says it on it. Question number three. Love the show. Hey, Pat. Love the show. So we'll appreciate your opinion on this one. Am I being unreasonable? I sent my 9-year-old to bed at 9 p.m. Since the new year, she has done nothing but refuse this. I've spoken to her in depth about the importance of regular sleep. So we all try to stick to the early bedtime routine. But due to her lack of sleep, I'm up at daft hours as I'm worried I'll not be up on time for school and running and training.
This is a weird one because, sorry for saying weird.
I don't know what the fuck's going on in this email.
Oh, first of all, 9 o'clock is way too late for your 9-year-old daughter. It sounds to me like you're being so kind and so fair. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Arranging the bedtime to suit her age? I mean, when she's 10, is she going to stay till 10 o'clock? I don't get it.
Nine is late.
Nine is too and late. So you're already being way too nice to your
And maybe you need
girl.
To play this for her.
Yeah.
I spoke to this parenting podcast and they said, I'm letting you... But like, this is the thing. Once the genie's out of the bottle... And once 9 p.m. is established, you may need to recalibrate the rules. Like you say, have a family meeting.
She's definitely going to have a meeting about this with her daughter. And she's going to have to actually say to her, look, it's too late. You know what? The weirdest thing about sleep is if she can get her in a better routine where she goes up at 7:30, reads her book, puts on a bit of music. If she gets to bed by 8 or just after 8, she's going to sleep way better.
You
Nine
have the
is too
ultimate
late.
Life hack on this.
I do.
You do. Tina's a big believer in getting them to lie in bed and read.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like,
you
it's
have to
nearly
let your mind
as good
calm.
As sleep itself.
Yeah.
The other thing is that once they finish reading whatever it is they're reading, this is not rocket science. They're basically asleep.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's so restful.
We always do this. When they're babies, we go out of our way to have a bedtime routine.
Yeah.
And then we just throw it out the window. But actually, they need a bedtime routine way more the older they get.
And if you're worried she won't actually sleep at 8 o'clock, Tina has the other most incredible life hack. If your kid is going, I can't sleep, the sound box. Mm. And the return of the sound box to our child's room and dozens of kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just read the reviews on the sound box, which will play, you know, sea noises or white noise. It like it will work on you. It won't just work on your kid. Get a sound box for yourself if you're struggling to sleep and watch the magic happen.
The sound boxes are great.
Incredible.
But I really think that this mom is afraid
of
her kid. You're being way too kind. That is way too late for your kid. I mean, you must be exhausted by 9 o'clock. You're not getting any time on your own.
What about your time? What about your Netflix time?
You're not getting any time to yourself. You have to, Charlotte Sticker, you have to just sit down with your daughter and say, you know what? I got the bedtime thing all wrong. Yeah. I didn't realize just how much sleep you're supposed to be having. Bring the teacher in. Say, your teacher has said that you're too tired in class. And when she asked me what time you went to bed, she actually told me off. She said that's way too late for a 9-year-old. And just say, like,
friends say that they're going to bed at 9.
Yeah, well, you can say,
your friends are idiots.
You can just say, maybe their moms don't know they're getting it wrong either.
Their moms are idiots as well.
Oh my God, Charlotte. And you can say to your daughter, I'm really sorry, but don't worry, together we're going to fix this. We're going to let's talk about our bedtime routine. Let's make it really special. Yeah. Every night we're going to read a book together. She's only 9.
Even if you lay on the bed and read your book.
You lay on the bed and read the book with her. She's only 9, so she still kind of needs you to have an interest in the reading with her. And then get a music box, get a sound box, have a little light in her room. Make it special. But she needs to be in bed before 9.
Definitely.
That is too late.
So last week we talked about the Mammies and Daddies report from Aldi. And I'm assuming you're going to get to hear that Jen Hogan podcast. Mamma Mia and Me, is it? Mamma Mia and Me?
Mamma Mia and Me. Although maybe that little gorgeous superstar ruined it.
I don't know.
Ruined the whole
but
recording.
In the report into how parenting life is adversely affecting women more than men, this was a big part of it. You shouldn't feel guilty about carving out time for you.
It's essential.
It is absolutely essential. And we need to champion this, Tina.
Yeah.
On this podcast, you need to make sure not only that there's time for you, but there's time for you and your partner if they're still on the scene.
Exactly. But like, honestly, the whole struggle of bedtime, the reward should be that tiny bit of time you get for yourself. So the whole batshit bananas that goes down before the lights go off and you get your child to bed, the reward for you living through that and surviving another bedtime battle is you get some time to yourself.
New time.
Allow yourself to have that. 9 o'clock is too late. That is too late. Your daughter does not get to stay up till 9 o'clock. That is bananas. She needs more sleep.
So before we leave this question go and we head over to Patreon for the bonus section, what should a bedtime routine look like, ideally, in your opinion, for a 9-year-old?
Okay, well, ideally is the word. So first of all, you agree the time that you go, that the child needs to go upstairs. And for me, at 9 years old, I think that's 7:30. But who knows what the activities are in this house. So
by upstairs, you mean to their room,
to their room.
Pajamas.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, to wherever their bedroom or their space is in their house, wherever they are. And then the kid gets into their pajamas, they get to have their glass of
milk,
close
their curtains, all the rest, prep the room,
brush their teeth, and they have a book, hopefully, that they're looking forward to reading by themselves, or you're still reading with them. Try and make it cozy. It doesn't have to be an expensive, beautiful princess
wind down.
But it just needs to feel like bedtime is actually an activity.
Yeah, the pace of the day is done.
Use bedtime as well, this time you have together, to, you know, ask your child 3 nice questions about stuff that happened
today. What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Yeah, and also it's a great chance to let your kid know that you love them and that you're proud of them and that things you saw them do today that you felt were brilliant. And it's just a really good, positive time with your child. And then allow them to read. Let them relax. Keep it chill. Keep it chill. If you're not bringing the chill, get out of there because they need a chill. And then you have decided amongst yourself if that time they get to read is 20 minutes, whatever it is. And then you got to be really clear. Then lights are out. Do not wriggle with that. Do not say, okay, 10 minutes more. No. If you decided 20 minutes is what they get to read, 20 minutes is it, then the lights go off. Bedtime becomes a disaster if the kid knows that they can go, Mom, I need a drink, Mom. And the drink thing for me, I'm like, just leave a drink in their room. I don't think a child should ever be left without a drink.
Yeah. So the chart, in the same way as we introduced a lot of people to the morning
schedule, a going to bed
visual schedule.
Visual schedule for a 9-year-old, that would still work.
Bedtime, like, that lets them tick the boxes of teeth,
Yeah.
Pajamas, toilet, curtains, wash face, book.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then it becomes so calming.
These sound boxes as well are not expensive, and they are game changers, because what they do, they have all these lovely sounds, but they also have lights.
Mm-hmm.
So the child can choose to set the sound or the light. But also during the night, if they wake up, you're going to teach your child to help themselves fall back to sleep by putting on their soundbox again. They associate it. It's amazing. The soundbox is
the habit of a lifetime, because like I'm hearing all this, I'm going, I need to be doing a bit of this myself.
We actually do, as grown-ups. Like,
I had one night where I left my phone in the kitchen, and it was the best night's sleep I've had in ages. And I don't know why I'm so reluctant to leave my phone downstairs or just in another room. But it really, really changes things. I hope this has helped you guys. I hope this is a help, because I really think that bedtime and sleep is the universal outside of toilet
training. But I really want to stress, this mom needs to get that kid in bed, because you deserve to have your time
fully
to yourself. Fully.
Come on over to patreon.com/Irishmanabroad. Couple of clicks, you're joined up, you've access to everything, including massive bonus episodes, a full 4 or 5 early episodes of the show, the full Irishman Abroad back catalogue, Marion McKeown talking about America on Fridays, Sonia O'Sullivan coaching you. Sure, your life's just going to be better immediately when you head over there. Tina, thanks so much for
love
everything.
You, Charlotte.
And I'll talk to you on the other side.